Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch Podcast. We are here live at Amazing Hawaii Comic Con, and I am so honored to have yet another legend.
Holy moly.
Me.
How many legends have you had so far?
I tell you what, when I have an opportunity to talk to Chris Claremont, and then I have an opportunity to talk to who's currently on the podcast now, Mr. Scott Lobdell.
All right, so that's two legends.
I've had who else about? We had Joe Rubenstein on the show, not here today,
legendary,
but he was here as well.
Okay, legendary.
So I've had three legends of the comic book business on our show.
Awesome,
which is fantastic for me. That's better than one. So
I will tell you, I did not think I was going to live long enough to be a legend. I thought maybe I'd be like a myth.
Mm-hmm.
And I started out as a rumor, but to think that I've made it all the way to legend is pretty exciting.
So, Scott, our podcast is one that encompasses all of nerddom, from movies to games
all
to comic.
All of nerddom. That
try
is a lot
to,
of pressure.
That cosplay, the whole nine.
Yeah.
So for those that are not familiar with, say, comic books per se,
yes,
can you tell everybody why we believe that you are such a legend in the comic book business?
Oh, you know what? I would be so profoundly embarrassed to to rattle off a list of legendary feats that I have accomplished over the years. But what I can do is direct you to my Wikipedia page. So
that's a good idea.
If we could just play some music through this part.
Sure.
We'll do that.
Okay, give them like maybe give them about 10 seconds to go to Wikipedia.
Okay, got it.
Maybe another 5 seconds to read about me.
It's our little intermission.
Yeah.
Got it.
Don't forget to try the snacks at the bar, snack bar, and the hot dogs. Have that dancing hot dog music.
Yeah, got it.
Popcorn.
Got it. Yeah. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. And we're back.
And we're back
with the Arizona. Hawaii. No, not Arizona. Why am I thinking Arizona?
I'm not sure. We're in Hawaii. It's amazing Hawaii Comic Con.
I was thinking the USS Arizona. That's
what it was.
Hawaii, right?
Yes, it is, sir.
Yes,
yes,
we're
it
here
is
on the deck of the Arizona in Hawaii, where we have taken everybody at the convention. We brought them out for hot dogs, just like the song. And now here we are.
This is the beauty of podcast world.
Yeah.
Yes, we're just enjoying hot dogs here on the deck of the Arizona.
Absolutely.
Waiting for another bomb to drop.
That's right.
So,
hey, Scott, I gotta ask you a question, sir.
Yes.
And I've asked this of all of the artists have come on the show.
So I'm not special.
You are this question is you're more than special.
Uh-huh. I
gotta tell you. But I asked this of all the artists.
Uh-huh.
Was your craft
yes,
was it something that you had as a youngster, or did you harness that, or did you become more familiar with it when you became, say, more of an adult? Where did you find
it?
No,
I was always drawing from a very early age.
Okay.
I was, maybe as soon as I could hold a pencil in my hand, I was drawing.
Right.
And, and so, I mean, like, some artists learn to draw from going to school and learning the art.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Some artists learn from looking at other comic book artists.
Right.
And I was one of those artists who, like, just learned from other people.
So this was something that you honed yourself. It wasn't like you weren't formally trained.
No, I was not formally trained.
Wow, that is amazing.
Wow.
So, Scott, this is where
I was informally trained by a bunch of ninjas in the art.
Can we
of,
see some of that?
So, Scott, this is where I introduce Alika, owner of Maui Comics and Collectibles, into the podcast.
Hello, Alika. How's it going?
And here's
a rebook of flight to where? Where are you going?
I'm just going later to Maui.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm scared about packing up from this con.
So, Alika, since everybody has visited Scott Lobdell's Wikipedia page because of this podcast, could you gush a little bit about how wonderful Scott Lobdell
well,
is?
Well, I just want to mention how much I love the lead-up to Generation X and everything. Like, that was one of my favorite X-Men storylines. Mm-hmm. And Generation X, not to say that they aren't the biggest thing ever, but it's like, I really thought Generation X was going to take off.
I would say that too, yeah. I thought, you know, like in the old days, they would, you would see the X-Men, and then you'd see Wildcatch, and you'd see Cyberforce,
yeah,
and you'd see Wetworks. And all of them really, let's be honest, were
rip-offs.
Variations, yeah.
I'm rip-offs, sorry, I didn't mean to say rip-offs. You had a better word.
I did not say rip-offs, yes. I didn't.
Variation.
Let it be, yeah, yeah. Let it be
I
noted.
It. It's
relax, Alika.
Let's get Jim Leori.
So the thing is that I was always sure, because we made a special effort not to redo, like, even when we were designing
the
characters.
They were such interesting
characters, man. Well, yeah, and like, when we were designing them, they were saying, like, the editors were saying, well, okay, which one's the Wolverine character, and which one's the Colossus character?
Who's going to have the funny Wolverine hat? Who has the funny Wolverine hair?
Yeah,
they got to have one.
The one who's too big to fit in the panel. And we were like, no, we're not going to do
like Chamber,
anything of that.
Skin. Yeah. Chamber, they were amazing X-Men characters. Because I was reading the collector's edition leading up to it, where you get the stats and the little histories of the new characters. And I was like, raring to go on this thing, and it seemed to just like Marvel didn't put juice into it or something, or like,
well, I mean, it's it went to 80 issues, so that was pretty good,
yeah.
But after I left, they kind of, you know,
but then it doesn't have a current incarnation, which kind of trips me out because they were
I mean, I do have to say, from my understanding, is that the title Generation X, you know,
it was timely, it was meant to be a 90s thing,
It's like when you look at grunge from
but actually, That team kind of transcends that whole thing. Gen
13
is still around, and Generation X is still relevant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like Well, what I've always wanted to do is to do, like, a you know, a Kickstarter or independent book, and assume that these characters aged in real time.
Wow.
So now they're in their early 30s.
And that would be such an interesting story, because after that 80-issue arc where they're still young, and then you pick off and meet them again... And a lot of these were young people. It was like the whole X-Men trope, you know.
And you could still be called Generation X, which would be really cool.
Yeah, exactly. They'd still be Gen Xers.
Well, the thing is that if I did it as a creator own book, I'd have to...
He wouldn't be able to use
of
a
course.
License.
I wouldn't use Chamber. I'd call him Beacon. And I wouldn't use Skin. I'd call him Epidermal or something, you know. Or
what's
Esthetician.
The Spanish? He's Spanish, right? So what's the Spanish?
Yeah, whatever the Spanish word is.
El Skin guy?
El Skino. El Skino.
So Scott, your amazing work is something that we're all familiar with, and that we all
We all read my Wikipedia page.
We all of course, and obviously admire your work. Now, what is it that you is there something that you're working on now that we haven't seen yet? Is there something that's in your mind right now that you want to put
to
page?
Here at the con, I announced my very first Kickstarter program.
Oh, fantastic! What is it?
And it's called Fourplex.
Okay.
And it is about four young novice superheroes who are kidnapped by this kind of fairly innocuous supervillain. And the idea is he's going to rearrange their minds so that he can spy on the adult superheroes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But unfortunately, something goes terribly wrong, and these kids become like Saw.
Right.
And they, like...
Ravenous,
know,
murderous.
Ravenous, and they essentially, like... at first,
the
one
more
of the
more
heroes...
The more I think about this premise, I just have to read it. Cool. Because they just tear a mud hole through the hero, the adult heroes and then the brainwashers.
Yeah. And it starts slow, too, because at first, you know, one of the heroes dies and it looks like he died in action, and the other heroes are like, oh, wow, we feel really bad for you.
The kid heroes are carrying flowers and weeping for him.
Being the first ones at the casket to, you know... pay the respects, and it's only as the series progresses that suddenly the adult superheroes realize, oh my god, we're trapped in here with
these psychos.
Yeah. So
now if anybody wants to get involved with that Kickstarter, how do we do that?
Just send as much money as you can.
Corplex is
Fourplex.
Yeah, any much as whatever money you have.
Okay,
send
got it.
Fourplex is one word, F O U R P L E X.
Fourplex.
Yeah.
So four spelled out.
And we can look it up on Kickstarter.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be. It's not going to start as a Kickstarter for about two more weeks.
Oh, two more weeks.
So it's not even on Kickstarter yet. But just stay tuned for that.
Yeah, okay. This was my announcement. So.
Oh, fantastic!
Nice. Wow.
Well, that's great news.
And you heard it here first.
Oh, NerdWatch exclusive.
Yes, exclusive. Corplex,
drop in on Kickstarter.
Well, also, Scott, in your resume of what you've done, is there something that you're most proud of? You are legendary for your work with the X-Men. Is that something that you're
during
proud
one of the
of?
Most peak times of the X-Men?
Yes,
it was like,
obviously.
That was when the X-Men were the kings of the world, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That property owned everybody and everything.
Is that something that you're most proud of? Or are you? I was asking Chris Claremont the same question of, are you okay with your legacy being the X-Men, or would you like to be defined by something else? Or,
well, you know, a few years ago, they wanted to give Peter O'Toole the Lifetime Achievement Oscar.
Sure, sure.
And for a funny accent.
What that?
No, I'm just
And he said that he had no interest in it because that's something you give to somebody at the end of their career.
Right.
So similarly, I mean, I don't, you know.
Good.
I think that's the answer you were fishing for, G.
I think I was. Maybe.
I think the most exciting things that I'm going to be doing are going to be, you know.
What's next?
In the future, yeah. At some point, some people are going to be like.
Incredible.
Yeah, at some point, people are going to be like, X-Men, what was that?
Right, right.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to be around that either.
Right. By the way, next week.
There's the Jim Lee girl. Hey, Jim Lee, print girl. How are you?
By the way.
She's here, too. Everyone's here.
Yeah.
Next week, Friday, at your local Megaplex, X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing X-Men Apocalypse, and where Fox is going to have another one for
I
us.
I wanted to kind of. I wanted to kind of weave into that. You are also responsible for Age of Apocalypse, yes?
I'm also what?
Responsible for Age of Apocalypse.
Yes, that comic book, yeah.
Yes, sir. I don't know if you know, but have they been not so much faithful, but kept into the spirit of the Age of Apocalypse for what we'll see on the big screen?
I have no knowledge of it, but I don't believe so because Age of Apocalypse was very much an alternate reality story.
Days of the Future Past was probably closer to that. Yeah,
I agree.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Age of the Apocalypse starts in the 80s and everything.
Yeah, that is true.
It's probably more mirroring the early X-Factor stuff, but... What I have a question of is, you as a writer and doing the X-Men and stuff, X-Men is an iconic property. It's like if you do Batman or Superman, it's like you did X-Men.
Which I have.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you have.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But like to put your fingerprint on properties like that and like have such a, you know, there's certain story arcs that define a character.
Uh-huh.
And some of them happened recently. Like Age of Apocalypse is certainly one of those story arcs that's going to stick with the X-Men forever.
Right.
That's going to be retold over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And reused. I mean, they're still doing Age of Apocalypse tie-ins to this
day.
Yeah,
and you know, honestly, like I've said before, like I have not done work for Marvel in a long time, but if I were to do work, I would like to do the next thing and not the last thing.
No,
you know, like,
of course, yeah.
It just amazes me that they like...
That's kind of frustrating for us as retailers because we do want fresh things. Like mm-hmm. Age of Apocalypse was the 90s, and it blew my mind when it happened.
Yeah,
and
well, even this this new event that they did, where they pretty much, I mean, both companies, frankly,
they timed it really oddly,
the vault and used all their old things.
Secret Wars versus another Infinity crossover.
Yeah. And
right.
So to me, to watch, you know, Heroes Reborn and Onslaught and Age of Apocalypse. It's like, you know, there is a flattering element to it.
Sure.
But
that's
at the same time, it's like, let's see what the next
sure.
thing is. So.
And us as fans, too. Like, I was, and what kind of scared me when I started reading Age of Apocalypse is like, how is this going to tie back into original continuity? How are they going to get back on track after this alternate timeline, which you've established is an alternate timeline, you know?
Now, that's something interesting you brought up because
you finally said something interesting.
No, Scott, you did because I think what...
Oh, I did. Okay,
you did.
Okay, that makes more that's sense.
That's your credit.
Well, because what's interesting about what you have just said is that some of the frustration that we have as comic book fans, like... I don't know why there's a need to reboot the Old Man Logan story because that was such a great story that was already.
I think
third iteration of that one. We're rebooting the DC universe yet again, and we just rebooted the DC universe.
Got a text rebooting it again.
Again,
yeah, 2 weeks after the next reboot. That would really make sense, actually.
So
you know what I mean? To me, it's like when you watch... look at the most exciting TV that's on right now. Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Orange is the New Black. You know, it's like... You know, to me, it'd be like if somebody went in and said, hey, we want to do The Walking Dead, and the network said, you know what? We have this...
Don't worry, it's fine. We can still hear you on the microphone.
Yeah. It's hard to concentrate.
Oh, it's hard to concentrate?
Yeah.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll pause for a second and we'll be right back. And we're back. So now what were you saying about the reboots and how terrible they are?
I wouldn't say they're terrible, but I just think, like, we talked about, like, the... In other words, like...
You're on independent series and trying to walk in and do something different.
Well, like, suppose, like, when Seinfeld, when Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld came up with the idea for
Seinfeld.
A show about nothing.
And they went into the network and they said, hey, we have the show. This is the idea. And the network said, you know what? We have this property called Dick Van Dyke. It's been running for 70 years now.
Can you do the Dick Van Dyke reboot?
Yeah,
Mr.
yeah, we're
Seinfeld.
Doing 70 years now, and we would like you to play Dick.
Right.
And we'll have Julia Louis-Dreyfus will play his wife.
Right.
And but you know, and you just sit there like, well, okay, how are we ever going to get a Seinfeld? How are we ever going to get a Breaking Bad? How are we ever going to get, like, how are we going to get, as a comic book company, how are we going to get the next new thing if we're constantly looking at the thing in the past? And every once in a while, like, I'll talk to a comic book publisher and I'll say, you know, what if we create something new? And they say, well, you know, Scott, the new stuff.
Right.
We can't sell the new stuff.
Right.
And I said, well, what's an example of the last new stuff that we tried to sell?
Right.
And never come up with an answer. So.
Well, now I guess that means that it's not necessarily the artists that are rehashing. It's you guys are looking for the next new idea, and you're trying to give it to them, and they're like, no, we better stay with
you. You know, it's probably 50-50. I mean, I think there are people that are, you know, like, just as happy to, you know. Like, what I find interesting, too, is, like, whenever anybody gets on a book, you know, if you want to write Captain America, you want to write Captain America, you want to write Captain America,
right.
And then suddenly on your book, you suddenly are like, I want to do my Red Skull story, or I want to do my, you know, Baron Zemo story or something, and... Similarly, you know, Spider-Man. I mean, if I was ever in charge of Spider-Man, I would try to come up with a new rogues gallery.
Right.
But too often,
very cool.
You get Spider-Man, and this is my Dr. Octopus story, and this is my Rhino story, and this is my Green Goblin story, and it's like, you know.
Interesting.
I mean, I read...
I would love to see new rogues. Like,
no, what's interesting... Right?
That's
a fascinating idea, because they always try and reinvent the character.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's
a
never
new
reinvention.
Of Doc Ock and,
right, and there's never
and
a reinvention of the rogues.
Who
would they go up against? That's a brilliant idea. That's a simple idea.
I was reading... I was reading Captain America one time, and somebody was plotting against Captain America.
Again.
And at the end, the limousine pulled up, and you open up the limousine, and it was the Red Skull.
No.
You believe that?
No.
Again.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. It was incredible.
Did
and
I, sorry, I didn't
and they did it as a cliffhanger. Like, like anybody's reading
I would have never guessed it was the Red Skull. Yeah.
Is he also associated with the Nazi party?
Well, actually, he was picking him up for the Christmas party because they've they've been hanging out so long.
Yeah. We've got to
Come on, you know the drill.
Remember that time?
so for you, it seems as if you're... I was telling Chris Claremont the same thing. You guys, although you're legendary in the business, your minds... for this stuff is it going a mile a minute? And it seems like you guys have some of the most amazing ideas for these comic books.
Yeah,
and
can you give us another $1 million idea?
Well, you know what? If you could get out of the podcasting business and get into publishing, I think we could work something. I think we'd all be rich.
I think publishers are just meant to be obstinate jerk.
I think
holes,
so.
You know?
I guess so.
You said that. I did not say that.
I just said that.
I read it off the post-it.
I just say all these pull quotes. These pull quotes are going to be scalabdosis.
Scott Lobdell agrees with. No, I'm just kidding.
So when you look at with the current state of comic books, are there any names right now out there that impress you as far as their voice in the comic book
world? Get the Lobdell bump.
Yes, that's what we're looking for.
I'm going to edit that question out.
Okay,
because
go ahead.
I don't really know.
You're still top dog.
Well, I mean, I know it's not that. It's just that I don't know enough to, like...
No, sure, yeah.
Highlight. I mean, I could say Rob Kirkman, but that's you know, that would be too easy. So.
Right.
No, I mean,
and he's here.
Yeah,
and he's standing right in front of us. No,
just,
yeah. And the thing is that it's hard because if I don't say anything, then it seems like I don't have interest in other people.
Sure,
And frankly, I don't. So.
Classic.
But let's make sure that's
I'll edit that right.
Okay.
You make sure to amplify that. Cut it as.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
That's
going to
be the ad for this interview. Scott Lobdell. I'm the only guy.
Well, Scott, listen, you spend a lot of time with us, and we certainly do appreciate it. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but where can we find you? Are you on social media? We know your Kickstarter is coming
up. No, I'm not on social media. I have no...
Do you have directions
number.
To the cave?
You have no phone number? Are you serious?
I have no phone number, and I don't even have an address. So I'm pretty much...
You're
so
a hermit.
He's the Unabomber.
I'm a wraith. I'm a wraith. I have a cabin in the woods.
What's your next manifesto, dude?
That's my genius manifesto.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, established something.
That's right.
Yeah, no, there's no way to get a hold of me or to... you know,
other than to send you...
When we leave today, I'm taking down my Wikipedia page. just to make this one
so we
big
can't post
story.
Anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
And just know, watch no out links. On Kickstarter, because the only way you can reach him is if you send him tremendous amounts of money.
Just send whatever money you can. Yes.
I'm going to donate just so I can bother you. Hey, Scott.
Yeah. I tell you what, an absolute legend in the business, shaped the Marvel Universe in a tremendous way, and from two guys that really appreciate that, we thank
you so
very
much.
Thank you.
And we thank you so much for what you've done for us as kids, for us as youngsters, because I wasn't a kid when I was reading your comics. I was a teen.
Yeah, you're a creepy
you're
old
a
dude.
Toddler.
I was a teen, but that's how old I am. But I do definitely want to thank you. Please check out Scott's a Kickstarter. Where it's going to be called Fourplex.
F-O-U-R-P-L-E-X.
It's going to be up in a couple of days.
M-O-U-S-C.
Don't look for him anywhere else, because he's not there.
If you see someone else who looks like me.
I'm going to follow him after we leave the show. I like that, so don't worry.
But Scott, your tremendous talent and your tremendous abilities have impacted our lives, and we certainly want to thank you for that. And thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
When you sent the limo, I was like,
you couldn't resist, right?
I was like, do I get in or
then
do
you start
I?
Red Skull and you're like.
Yeah, I'm like, uh-oh. I see how this ends.
Well, Scott, okay. Thank you so much, sir. We certainly do appreciate it. Stay tuned, guys, because coming up, we got more interviews with legends like Mr. Libdell. Phenomenal stuff. Stay tuned right here on the Nerdwatch podcast. Aloha.